The same thing with migraine disease. I think comparing yourself with another individual's journey can be detrimental to you. And I think cutting the comparison is important. Recognizing when you're comparing, recognizing what that comparison is doing to you internally, and stopping that, and falling into your journey. I think everyone's journey is beautiful, and I think it's important to relish that and really take that in and create your own story.
Within the last 2 decades, social media has changed the world. For those of us with chronic illness, it can provide us a space to learn about our disease, find a community of people who truly understand what we're going through, and help us stay in touch with our loved ones when we can't even leave our house. However, on the other hand, it can affect our mental health, amplify harmful misinformation, and allow companies to prey upon those of us looking for solutions. To help us discuss the pros and cons of life on social media is headache specialist and charismatic Instagram personality, Dr. Cynthia Armand. Dr. Armand, welcome back to the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be back here again. And this is such a wonderful forum for information for patients, and it's so enriching. So I'm happy to be a part of it.
Excellent. Okay, so what is social media?
So I mean, social media encompasses technologies and applications that allow for creation of digital content, and that allows for social interaction, information dispersal, integration, and essentially networking.
How has it risen to such an integral part of society?
Well, I think it's because social media has become a pillar of connectedness. So we know that it started with the advent of the internet a long time ago, and then it expanded into advancements in digital technology to essentially what we see today, which is 24/7 communication. And the other part of social media that I think is really striking and important is the inclusivity. No matter what you're into, where you come from, what you represent, what you do for a living, there is a place for you. And you're able to find your people there, and you're able to find information to expand about upon that and to grow. So I think those are the major forces that has allowed social media to just become a full force in the world.
Along those same lines, does social media affect everyone equally?
Social media involves interaction, and it's interaction with content, it's interaction with individuals and statements, and not all of it is created equal. So there's positive interactions and there's negative interactions. And just as certain content and statements can make someone feel good about themselves and allow them to progress to growth, there are negative statements that are off-putting and make individuals feel down and depressed and have them isolate.
Exactly. And so we're not going to talk about the entirety of social media, obviously. We can't do that, but let's focus mostly on the health aspects, either looking for information or sharing our own stories. How can social media be helpful in that regard?
There's a lot out there for individuals to feel understood and also to find their community. Finding community encourages support within anything that you're experiencing and whatever you're doing within your life. So I think social media is helpful in that regard. So it helps with learning about what you're experiencing, growing and becoming your best self, and also enriching your life and enriching your knowledge so that you can then have better and more in-depth conversations with, for example, healthcare providers about migraine disease.
Yeah, absolutely. I have had intractable migraine for about 10 years now, and there is not a single person in my real life who could relate to that at all. And then, I can join in on a Facebook support group or, go on migraine chat on Twitter or something. I can watch your videos and suddenly there are my people, like people understand completely. I can relate, I can vent, I can learn things, and it's a really incredible space. And a lot of people don't know that that's even out there. And I hope everyone can learn from that and know that they can find solidarity and they can find, just this warm community that is welcoming and supportive, and you can just learn so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Definitely. Okay, so when can it be less helpful and verge on harmful?
So it can be less helpful when the information being shared is actually misinformation or negative information. So for example, misinformation is basically when the information that's being presented is being presented as facts when actually it could be opinions or just blatant falsities. And that content shared can be harmful to the person receiving it because it might cause them to do something that may be harmful to them. And harmful content is such that induces the receiver to emotionally, fiscally, and physically have a negative impact within what they're experiencing and what they're doing and plans that they're making.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, people are constantly telling us, oh, here's the cure for migraine. This will help so much. And I like to think of myself as, you know, like a very literate person in health information. And I've wasted so much money. I've definitely been taken advantage of. And it's hard to tell, like, what's true, what will help some people, what will help other people. It's very difficult. Do you have any tips on how to try to parse out that information?
Yeah, so it's really important to be able to decipher what's real and what isn't, and what's credible and what isn't. And I searched through the internet and I found this digital literacy expert who coined this SIFT method, basically sifting through information. So it allows individuals to just remove themselves from the content and get ready to just search through and figure out whether or not they can hang their hats on this information. So the F in SIFT stands for stop. So that's literally stop, take a deep breath, look at what's going on, and get ready to search and figure out what's going on with the info. The I stands for investigate the source. So where is this information coming from? Who's stating it? What website is this on? Is it a reputable source? The F and the T. So the F is find better coverage. And then the T is trace claims, and then quotes. So both of those together mean you should go out there on the internet and see what other people are discussing based off of the topic that you're seeing and see if it's similar to what's being stated there. And then if anyone is making any bold statements, any quoting anyone, you need to go back and find that original source. Because sometimes if you can't find the source, you really need to know where it came from. And if you don't, it might not be credible. And you want to make sure the source comes from a major organization. I think that's the safest way for you to know it's credible. Major organization, reputable sources and forums like the Migraine World Summit, different advocacy groups that really have experts in certain fields that are providing the information that's being stated. You never want to take something in from, you know, a Lone Ranger, for example, because you don't know. It might be something that's stated and an opinion coming from that person.
Which is scary because there can be medical professionals, you know, doctors or nurses saying these things that the majority of doctors and nurses aren't agreeing with. And it's terrifying to not know, like, who can we trust here?
Exactly. And what I say to that is, if you come across something on the internet and it's very enticing to you, talk to your healthcare provider. You know, I have patients all the time that message me and ask questions about, oh, I came across this online. What do you think about that? And I like that because I think that they are, in a sense, advocating for themselves, but also being safe. And I always want my patients to be safe. I want everyone to be safe.
Definitely. I love that. All right, so let's talk about some of the mental health connections with social media. So we've had a lot of experts discuss how migraine and mental health affect each other. How does social media exacerbate these issues, or how can it help?
We know that fear of missing out is this concept where individuals see something, see someone experiencing something, and then they first have this feeling where they're missing out. And then as a reflex, they engage in behavior, which is often compulsive and that allows them to keep up, essentially, to prevent that missing out. And they keep doing that. And sometimes the behavior that they engage in can be harmful or dangerous for like high risk behavior. And that can lead to an unhealthy attachment to social media, because you might want to do something and see how people react to it, and you want to have likes and all of this such. How does that relate to migraine? So with migraine, we know that there's so much data and qualitative data and information on the fact that individuals with migraine are affected in various ways. They're affected in their overall health. They're affected in cognitively in terms of thinking, mental cloudiness, and they're impacted emotionally. There's a lot of feeling down. There's depression, anxiety. There's guilt about not being able to function at high level capacity because of what they're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. And social media and fear of missing out really fuels that a lot more. So think about it. You have someone who is experiencing migraine, has migraine disease, and then introduce social media. And in a negative way, it adds on to the already existing emotional challenges and physical and mental challenges that they're already having. So that is where social media can be negative. And then the fear of the missing out, which they already have with migraine disease, and now it's exacerbated with social media.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we see people, you know, in our similar age group, you know, they're having all of these accomplishments, and migraine and chronic illness have taken us away from those. And exactly. It sort of feels like it's constantly being blasted in our face, like, hey, you didn't do this or you didn't do that. Do you have any tips on like how we can cope with that and all of these, you know, expectations society has put, you know, per age or like per milestone that you should have accomplished, and chronic illness and migraine have taken us away from those.
Right. Yeah. So it's human nature for us to compare, and it stems from this comparison of I should, and we see this in various other aspects of life, like individuals who are at a certain age are not married or don't have children. And so they're like, oh, by this time I should have done this and I should have done that. And it might formulate this unhealthy situation where you rush or do things that you shouldn't be doing and might be unhealthy for you. It's the same thing with migraine disease. I think comparing yourself with another individual's journey can be detrimental to you. I mean, I think cutting the comparison is important. Recognizing when you're comparing, recognizing what that comparison is doing to you internally, and stopping that. And falling into your journey. I think everyone's journey is beautiful. And I think it's important to relish that and really take that in and create your own story. I always say everyone is valuable. Everyone has something to offer, and everyone's story is beautiful. So why not lean into yours and create your own narrative instead of looking at the other person and saying, I wish I had that. The grass is always greener on the other side. Don't forget that.
That is perfect. And that leads exactly into my next question. How can sharing our story on social media be used for advocacy?
Mm-hmm. So what I love about social media is that you have access to the world at your fingertips, right? So you have access to organizations, you have access to change makers and government, individuals who have high level stances in their companies and organizations. And you know the term slide into DMs, where DM is a direct message and you can just direct message people. You could advocate yourself by direct messaging anyone, or even kind of partnering and getting involved with reputable advocacy groups and learning about how to speak up for yourself and how advocacy works in terms of government stances and how to impact migraine and headache disorders in general, and take part in all of those. And all it takes for that is just communication, right? So if there's a social media handle, a profile that you see, and they're important in helping individuals with migraine disease, you can DM them or email them and say, hi, I have migraine disease. I'm really interested in learning more about what you do for the community, and I'd like to take part. How can we set this up, and how can I do that? Simple, simple. What's the worst that can happen? They don't reply. And they'll probably reply, but it will be delayed.
And I have to say, even if they don't reply or if they say they can't do it, it's almost always because they are overwhelmed and they don't know how you can help. It's not that they don't want your help.
Right.
It's not that they don't need your help. You're very valued. People are just, you know, doing the best they can.
That is so true. I think you should never underestimate what individuals are going through, and that they are human beings and they might be overwhelmed and they might be experiencing something that they need to get through, and never take a lack of response negatively. I think a lack of response might be, hold on a second, I need a mental health week, or hold on a second, I have all these projects. I think yours is important. Let me get back to you when I get back to you.
Which is extremely true, specifically in our types of communities where, you know, everyone is experiencing, you know, chronic pain, mental health issues. There's just so much going on. Not that everyone isn't experiencing that, but it can be extremely hard. And it's very easy to take things personally when, yeah, we just need to give them a break as well that we would want for ourselves. All right. So let's talk about support groups. What are some of the pros and cons of joining an online support group for migraine or other chronic illness?
So the pros of an online support groups is, one big one is community. So I talked about finding your people. I think this is a great way to find your people. And you don't really have to travel anywhere to find your people. They're at your fingertips, remember? And then the next thing is finding helpful advice from other individuals who are in your shoes. Now, you have to be careful with that advice, but they're in your shoes and you're able to relate to them. And that's really powerful for getting through any sort of situation. The next thing is, these support groups can help you gain knowledge about your condition, as well as further questions or topics that you're able to discuss with your healthcare provider. So that improves that depth of information that you can carry on with your provider. Now, the cons, of course, there are negative interactions. Of course, there are individuals who, for reasons unknown to me, feel the need to make others feel uncomfortable or feel the need to just put you down and make you feel worse off. The other thing is unsolicited advice. So there are some individuals who just feel the need to tell you what to do. And you have to be able to look at that and say, thanks for your advice, but I like the way I'm doing things now, and I'm going to talk to my doctor about that. And then you move on. Because the best thing about social media is you can just click and then they're gone. So I think that's good. So those are, I think, some of the negatives that come along with the online support groups. You always have to remember, you are the same as the other person in terms of maybe what illness you have or what you're going through. However, the personal intricate circumstances are different. Your body is different. So you always have to take whatever is being said to you in support with a grain of salt and talk to a healthcare provider so that you don't catch yourself doing things on your own in order to help yourself. You can have guided help with that.
Exactly. And along those lines, so if I'm a person writing in a support group and there was a medication that was terrible for me, it threw my body into chaos. Mm-hmm. I think I'm looking out for people when I say never, ever, ever take this medicine, but it's obviously helped a ton of other people. Do you have any advice on, you know, what to do in that sort of situation, or even just how to hear other people's experiences and not internalize them?
Right, right. I see that often. And I really do think that the person, like you said, who's making that statement just really wants the best for everyone else. And I experienced this. It was horrible. I don't want any of you to experience this too. So let me tell you what's going on. It's like a Yelp review. You know, you talk about a restaurant and this was a negative experience and it's 2 stars and don't go there. But I think, again, everyone's body is different. And what you can do is you can take that information that you were told and talk to the person who's prescribing it and say, I was on an online forum and this person experienced, for example, nausea, severe nausea. They couldn't keep food down. Now, I'm worried about that. What's the percentage of me experiencing this? Was that seen in clinical trials? How often is that seen? How common is it? Because I am worried about that. And if so, is there something else that wouldn't produce that side effect that I can take or engage in? And I think that's a healthy way of kind of going about it, because once again, that person's circumstance is different than yours. And you might find that that medicine was right for you, especially after you make an informed decision based off of information you've gathered with your provider.
How do we know when we're spending too much time on social media? Where do we do that? And also, if we have a loved one who we think is spending too much time on social media, how do we approach that?
Just as social media can be enriching and enjoyable, sometimes it can be very overwhelming for individuals. And there are warning signs as to whether or not it's starting to impact you negatively. So there are a couple of things. So first thing is, if your phone or whatever you use for social media is the first thing you look at in the morning and the last thing you look at night, I mean, you have to be able to find real life enjoyment outside of technology in order to live well and start your day right. The other thing is using social media to procrastinate. So instead of being productive on a day-to-day basis, you're actually going on social media and looking at videos and using that to pass the time. And literally, you can watch so many videos and the time goes by so fast, you will not notice when an hour has gone by. And then, my goodness, like if you had a deadline, you have like 20 seconds to hand it in. That is not healthy. the other thing is the notification. So we have these notifications that you can put on and off that tell you if someone liked something that you posted or sent you a message. If you are attached to those notifications where every time it rings, that's it. You grab your phone and it's just all the time you have to grab your phone. You have to look. That's a bad sign. That means you need a little separation from your device. The other thing is, if you are using social media and you're feeling anxious or depressed about what you're looking at, and it's creating a negative narrative internally, you need a break, right? So I always take the example of the pandemic. I actually went through this. So I was deployed in the hospital and I had been watching coverage all day, all the time, in between seeing patients and like listening to the radio and such. And it was unhealthy. My anxiety skyrocketed. I felt low. I would drive home feeling down. And then I decided, you know what? While I'm doing this, I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm not going to watch the news when I get home. I'm going to watch a movie or I'm going to listen to some music and just stay away from that. And instantly I felt better. I felt better because I wasn't in that world 24/7. And it was just a game changer for me. So that's important. The other thing is using social media as your main news source. There are different networks that provide information in different ways. And I think it's healthy to read the newspaper or maybe watch a podcast or listen to the news, watch the news on television. I think there you should mix up how you get your news and not kind of stay tied to one thing. And then one last sign is neglecting face-to-face interaction for social media, right? So instead of having a face-to-face interaction with someone in a bonding experience, you decide to go on the internet or go on Instagram and watch videos, right? So you're missing out on that bonding time with an actual person. So you want to get away from that content. So those are ways of knowing that social media is detrimental to your well-being. The other thing in terms of recognizing and helping individuals that feel like they need space, I think healthcare providers can be a great source of that, because sometimes people can experience underlying conditions that can lead them to use social media as like a masking method For example, someone who's experiencing depression, individuals who have depression may not be productive in life from the get-go, and they do that, they might use social media to fuel that. So they may feel down and out and not have the ability to be productive. And instead, they're watching videos on social media all day. So to the untrained eye, someone might think, oh, you have to get off the phone. I don't know why you're on the phone all the time. And they're kind of spewing negativity at that person, when actually the real problem is that they're depressed. And this is a way for them to cope with that. So definitely speaking to healthcare providers. Sometimes they can be online resources. I actually came across this really nice resource online called Help Guide. It's www.helpguide.org. And I think it was an article that talked about social media with teens. And it was actually really nice. It went through different ways as to how to cope with spending too much time on social media, how to recognize it. And I thought it was very comprehensive. So I think if you're experiencing that, I think that's a really nice resource.
Perfect. I'll definitely link that in the guide. And when you said that, like going through the pandemic, something very incredibly important, there's so many social causes, even in support groups, you know, you make these friends and you're worried, like you start feeling guilty. What if I like avoid the computer, what are these people going to do? Like they need me, like I need to be updated. How do we get rid of this guilt, or how do we deal with this guilt that, hey, we need to take care of ourselves first and everything else will probably be okay.
Right. So I actually felt that way too. I recently took a break from social media because I felt very overwhelmed, I have to admit that. And it was very hard to come to terms with the fact that whatever was going on in this abyss of social media will still be there when I come back. And it's true. Literally, if somebody, and I'll use Instagram as an example, if somebody posts, you know, has an IGTV chat, they literally posted on their page and it's there. You didn't miss anything. They wanted to live on the internet. They want to live there. So I think it's really important to take care of yourself. One, because remember, social media is a highlight reel. And two, in order for you to engage in a helpful manner and in a healthy way, you need to be okay within yourself. Okay. And three, it's important to reset, because sometimes we lose our purpose as to why we were on social media in the first place, right? So sometimes once we start getting the likes and the invites, we get bogged down and think to ourselves, oh, I have to do the next thing and I need this many likes. All right, step back. Why are you on social media? Why are you posting what you're posting? You have to have a purpose that's specific to you. Once you know that purpose and you stay true to that purpose, everything else that comes as a result of that is secondary. And you'll always be able to come back to that purpose and not worry about what else is happening.
I could not have put that better. That was brilliant. So yeah, be intentional with your social media usage. Know that there are downfalls. Mm-hmm. Again, find your purpose and remember why you're there. Know it will always be there for a return. If you need a break, you need a break. And use the SIF method to determine, hey, is this health information valuable? And make sure any health information you're getting off the internet, make sure you're discussing it with your healthcare provider. Make sure you know that someone's experience will not be the same as yours. And just be able to take a step back, use this information. It's a powerful platform, but make sure you know that there's another world outside. You don't need to be tied to it. Besides all of that, which is very valuable, do you have any remaining thoughts on social media and migraine and chronic illness?
Yes. So I think, remember, social media can be an enriching experience. And especially with individuals who have migraine disease, in finding your community. So have fun, find your people. And if it gets too overwhelming, don't be afraid to pull away, take breaks, because it's always going to be there for you. You can check in and check out.
All right, and how can we follow you? How can we learn from you specifically? Because I love that so many people out there will never be able to see a healthcare provider that's a headache specialist specifically, because they're so rare and you are providing so much incredible content, and you're making it accessible all across the world. How can we follow you?
Sure. So I do have a website, which took a while to formulate, but I have a website, cynthiaarmond.com. My Instagram handle, which I'm more active on, is SimplifiedMD. And I am also on Twitter, SinArmondMD as well.
Perfect. And do you have any other resources that you would recommend for people either looking for, you know, great medical advice or the migraine community or just health literacy online in general?
So I love the different advocacy groups that are online. So the American Migraine Foundation is a great source of information for individuals. And then there's Miles for Migraine, which is another patient advocacy group that I think is fabulous. And of course, Migraine World Summit.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Wonderful. Dr. Arman, thank you so much for being here. This is such an important topic. It affects so many people. And again, we're just so delighted to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.